Nice to see you again here online, all of you. May all sentient beings enjoy happiness and the causes of happiness. May they be free from suffering and the causes of suffering. May they never be separated from the great happiness devoid of suffering. And may they go in the great equanimity, but is free from attachment and aversion. So this is a prayer from not only words, but from one's heart. As we don't want, enjoy happiness and the causes of happiness. We want free from the suffering and the causes of suffering. That's the same. We want chief. Never separate from the great happiness devoid of suffering and dwell in great equanimity free from attachment aversion. Similarly to all sentient beings, basically it's same. So even these verses came one time also make something in some impact into one's own mind. Every time you pray this way, one day, three times, for example, maybe two times of those, we didn't really mean it or we don't really generate bodhicitta or loving compassion, but at least maybe one or three times possible, one have a really genuine motivation, want to others free from suffering and the cause of suffering. These, we have this wish sincerely. Mentally also, that makes very difference for us. Because it's Shantideva also said, all sufferings came from self-centered attitude or the egocentric thinking. Or the happiness is created from the wish to benefit others. It's like a basic psychology. So even this is a greater wish or prayer, the prayer. And have a many good impact in one's life. Not only purifying one's own negative karma, also connecting virtuous karma or white karma with other sentient beings. We may continue to wandering in samsara, but then it's with other sentient beings. Connections and the karmic connection is positive, more kind of a constructive or virtuous way. Then we don't, and they don't suffer they much or less suffering. And I'm going to read the Bodhisattva's Garland of Jewels. Homage to the Avalokiteshvara, homage to the gurus. And then we should kind of really, from our body, speech, and mind, at least some kind of generate some respect, and have a virtuous attitude, even having those, let's say, taking refuge mind of this attitude. Homage to devotional deities, abandon all thoughts, obviously, negative thoughts. And also some teaching also said this, we already done part, but it said first ban negative thought as much as possible, and then to, through the virtual thoughts, to transform negative thoughts, and then gone beyond of the thoughts that is paramita, kind of wisdom. And cherish the persistent practice, thoroughly abandon sleep, mental dullness, and laziness, and always make effort with a joyful perseverance. And thoroughly abandon means don't sleep like attached to sleep. Not saying you don't have to sleep, you know. These words sometimes, because of this stanza, made very, very tense and a small, short version. So there is a neat explanation. With mindfulness and awareness and carefulness, always protect the door of your senses. Again and again, three times, both day and night. Examine the flow of your thoughts. Review your own shortcomings, but do not speak out others' mistakes. Conceal your own good qualities, but proclaim those of others. Forsake gain and respect. At all times, relinquish profit and fame. Have a modest desires, be easy, satisfied, and reciprocate kindness. Reciprocate kindness. Cultivate love and compassion, and stabilize your bodhicitta. Devoid of 10 negative actions, and always ensure your faith is strong. Overcome anger and arrogance. These are the best, best success if one can really overcome ignorance, anger, and arrogance. That's such achievement. And be indulged with humility, relinquish wrong livelihood, and be nourished by the Dharma. Forsake material possessions, embellish yourself with the wealth of the noble ones, avoid all busyness and distractions, and reside in the solitude of wilderness. The wealth of faith and the discipline, of learning and generosity, of decency and shame, and the wealth of wisdom. These are the seven riches. These precious and excellent jewels are the seven treasures that never run out. Do not speak those to non-humans. It's not ready, people who... fully kind of matured the time that it's already said. Abandon gossip. Always guard your speech. When you see your guru and the preceptors, reverently generate the wish to serve. Towards those wise beings with Dharma eyes, and toward the beginners on the path as well, regard them as your spiritual teachers. When you see any sentient beings, regard them as your parents or children. Give up negative friends and rely on the true spiritual friends. Eliminate hatred and unhappy mental states, and be happy whatever you choose to go. So be happy is also said very kind of always remind us, can try to be good mood, balanced, and open, with openness, joyful kind of attitude. with smile, that abandon attachment to all things and stay free from desire. Attachment not only keeps you from the beneficial births, in fact, it kills life of true liberation. What you encounter with the causes of happiness, strive constantly to put them into practice. Whatever task you set out to do, accomplish that very thing first. In this way, everything will turn out well. If not, nothing will succeed. Since you take no pleasure in negative deeds, when a thought of self-importance rises, at that instant, deflect your pride and recall your guru's instruction. When discouraged thoughts rise, uplift your mind and meditate on emptiness. When objects of attachment or aversion appear, view them as illusions or projections. When you hear unpleasant words, view them as echoes. When you suffer physical harm, see it as a result of your past karmas, actions, he's saying. Live entirely in solitude beyond town limits. Like the carcass of a wild animal, hide yourself away and live free of attachment. Always be firm with your commitment. Whatever a feeling of laziness or exhaustion rises, at that instant, enumerate your shortcomings and recall this essence of conduct. Whatever you meet others, whenever you meet others, speak calmly and sincerely. Do not glamoury or frown, but always maintain a smile. In general, when you see others, do not be stingy. Be happy to give in, to give. Relinquish all thoughts of jealousy. To help guard others' mind, forsake all disputation, and be endowed with forbearance. Be free of flattery and fickleness in friendship. Be steadfast and reliable all the times. Do not disparage others, but always treat everyone with respect. When giving instructions, maintain compassion and altruism. Never defame the teachings. Set your sight on what inspires you most. And through the 10 forms of Dharma practice, exert yourself in sessions day and night. So these are already finished. And then when among many watch your speech, when alone watch your mind. So these, I think we are here. So when alone, it's because we have no guard of our body, speech, and mind, especially with mind, then if somebody watching us, then we behave maybe differently. If different people watch you, and maybe like your familiar, your friends watching you, maybe you have a different, little bit hesitation or too cautious in your mind. If a stranger watching you, you may have a more cautious. If enemy watch you, something you don't want like them to attack you or say something bad to you, kind of wear more. If you are in home, at home, maybe have a different kind of a way of life. But if you are in a monastery or church or any places in community with the other, many of those unfamiliar or unfamiliar, many crowd, when you are in a crowd with a lot of people, then may have a different kind of aware of alertness in those crowd. For some people, they already very familiar with the crowd, then they have a very regular kind of behavior also too. But here he's saying, when we made some commitment or received some precepts, vows, then you have to keep that promise or vows or whatever you already said, you have to kind of accordingly. If we are follower of the Buddha Dharma, then according Buddha Dharma, some teachings are suitable for yourself. You also want to improve that way. Then you can kind of watch your own behavior. And it said, we think nobody see us, but actually, that is not important. Someone see or not seeing, even spirit or God or Buddha Dharma, Bodhisattvas, they capable to see. But these are human or other beings or saint or anyone able to know us. Maybe one thing, but we have to know ourselves. We have to kind of. This is for our liberation too. Mainly, if the Buddha said, "Oh, I wish you all happy and free from suffering," that is not just Buddha's wish; it's our own wish. So similarly, free from suffering or illusion or ignorance or anything, these free from negative, destructive afflictions, emotions, then these are our own, really, our own wish, motivation from our own, but in order to benefit our own, including us too. Even sometimes it's more important to say, I have to liberate and then I'm going to help others. That kind of bodhicitta also there. This is three type of bodhicitta. It's a, oh, I will remain in samsara to serve others to achieve kind of liberation. Or we're going to get together to reach the beyond the other shore, or gain paramita liberation. Warrior said, I will first achieve the omniscient state, but then I will continue to turn back to help those three type of bodhicitta. So similarly, when he said very subtle and the self have to wear and care about oneself, one's behavior. If you want to change, you don't want to change, no one can force you or anything they can do much. Especially it said you have the only maybe Buddha is all-knowing omniscient, so it's of course it's capable. Otherwise, for normal human being like us, we don't really, how to say, one know self more than other people know you. You know yourself more than other people know you. So it that also says you have more responsibility than others to you. So you have to taking care of yourself and also have to take care of your spiritual path and also, how to say, reduce or diminish the suffering and the increase and the flourishing or the happiness and the open the wisdom eyes. These have to be one's own, mainly your own, the responsibilities in your own shoulder, actually. That's why Buddha also said in some sutras, you are your own master. Don't rely on the people, but rely on the teaching. And don't rely on the words, but meaning. Don't rely on the relative meaning, but ultimate meaning. And don't rely on the consciousness, but the wisdom. I said this, so it's important to see all negative creation is one's own involvement. We are our own agent of our, we are the main responsible for those, anything good or bad happens to us, for a long kind of from past, present and future. So in this, we should always guard our mind or protect our mind. They said, if other Buddha Dharma, the Dharmapala, or guardians of saint, the holy beings, or these help us, it's kind of more external help. Even like friends or Dharma friends, they cannot do much. They would give you some opportunity or some correction is possible. But internal, one have to have the awareness and mindfulness, and not to really the diligently kind of watch your own thoughts, and if something is not correct, always immediately dress yourself internally. That's not much effort. You have to just watch yourself and the flow of thoughts and these. Then it's good to have a third person's view on yourself. Or if you are alone, just a second person. You are the first person, first experiencing everything, but you they purposely create another people, like watch and reflect on you. So if I see a person, I can read somebody's mind. So many people wish to have this miracle power or as about a these able to read others' mind. It's amazing, right? So actually you can read your own mind. So it's more important than read others' mind. Maybe you cannot change others much, but if you can fully read your mind, then aware of your mind, then you have responsibility. Also, you have the tool, mean methods. You can change in better way. It's like you are driving car. You have the wheel on your hand. I think it's also called wheel, right? You can change the direction. So it's similarly, life view is in your own hand. So it's very important. So the second one is said, watch your speech. So this already we discussed a little bit before. So many creation of suffering and conflicts and the misunderstanding and the negative kind of impact from speech. One, if just without filtering, throwing many words and sentences can create oneself very big trouble. In some country, even you can go to prison or in Thailand, I think you cannot say anything to kin. Otherwise, you are illegal. You can be end up in jail. And in Iran, if you say something human rights or women's rights, maybe that is so difficult. We are not saying totally wrong, but you have to be according some situation, you have to be aware, because the end up, the consequences you may not want to face. Similarly, in friendship or family members, if you say words rude and they hurt very, the scar is called invisible scar. In Chinese words, also said, what's that called? Some words, harsh words, is harsher than the three winter months. The good words, the virtuous words, I think, if you just say one word, it's like a summer time, make people's mind very warm and comfortable. I think that is genuine. Maybe not exactly exact what I translated, but it's like roughly that way. So Mepa Rinpoche also said many different way to create the conflict in between human beings. Many people may not have a EOD, the intention, evil intention. But the words, how you choose the language, or words and the sentence, or how you use your speech, create the many misunderstanding and even create a lot of conflict. So in the age of internet, as we said before, some people even cause others to tend to suicide because website attack or sending message or threatening people or many things like that. So unpleasant words, even you said one time, people's mind can hurt many times. But these, what's about the scar of a weapon, or you nail or knife cut your skin, that pain is immediate, and later on then it's okay. It's not always pain, but the language, if you think of those negative words people said to you or something, then for maybe very open-minded people, you have a good practice, then it's a different situation. But normal people may have a difficult kind of psychologically very difficult to accept some words and chew some negative kind of impact that they experienced. So always be careful. It's not saying you cannot laughing or joking around to something, but always with a good right circumstance, with the right measurement, amount of those is good. Too much over is always be careful. And then whatever virtues you accumulate in three times, dedicate them towards great and unsurpassable awakening. Offer your merit to all sentient beings, and with the seven branch practice, always make great prayer of aspiration. And with this, it's almost to close this teaching from Atisha. He said, whenever virtues you accumulate in three times means past, present, and future, including past life, past the many lives, and also future many lives. It's like not left in any but a single kind of slice of a virtue for yourself. It's good to dedicate all without any attachment and ego. That kind of important meaning here. And for these virtuous action, what to do? Virtuous because, oh, we have a relative, in relative world, everything has a cause and a condition, and the cause, the fruition, these, we cannot say, even any scientific, reasonable person, scientists only say, if you say, if there is a causality in our phenomenal world, they say, oh yes, definitely. So no one denying. So, but maybe people don't know only, not knowing much about inner kind of merit these, but external causality is very surely no. Inner quality also knows, I think more psychological people, psychologists, some people say when people, like a baby, infant baby in the womb, you have to do exercise the right amount or eat something, not eat something, and have to listen good music or watch good painting or sighting, and then the baby will much kind of impacted by that. You keep your good mood, and these, so you can say even mother and infant child relationship after they're born in very early age already have a very deep important kind of child, even touched by father or mother's hand, is kind of showing some love and care, psychologically already making some differences. So it's also said it's for children, orphaned, orphanage, kind of orphaned children from orphan places. Then in maybe they are very intelligent and had all education, but because of some parts of their experience is from parents is missing, especially love and care, that kind of connection. So when they grew up, although they are successful, but in deeper mind, more insecurity, it's said by like a psychologist. So that means inner qualities also have a kind of past, present and future impact related to what you see, what you hear and what you think. It's really important. So what we are dedicate this, them, or virtuous deeds, or virtuous merit, towards great, surpassable weakening. That means total weakening. That is best way to go, and the best goal we have. So offer your merit to all sentient beings is another goal, another object that is all sentient beings, not one person, not two person, not the only one you love, but it's important. Sometimes we think our loved one is, we have to dedicate them first and the rest is later. You can say, why I do something good? Firstly, with the main reason is because of caused by my loved one. They want me to do, or I will helping them. So I'm going to do this. So in this case, you can dedicate to you, say, in name of somebody or some group of people. But then you have to say, actually, all of people, although I don't know very great detail about others' story and mind and these, but generally it's the same. So you can use your close the one, loved one as an example and to apply to all sentient beings. So, indeed, this, of course, dedication is large topic, what you dedicate and how you dedicate. These have many things to say. But in short, I think I'm going to say dedications, if you, virtues, compassion aspect of virtuous deeds, it's called merit. Sometimes we use merit and wisdom, right? Virtue, sometimes we say virtue, merit, virtue, these words may not very decisively different from those, but it's said, with the understanding about shunyata, then this merit can have a mean the aspect of liberation. Otherwise, it's kind of virtuous deeds. Virtuous deeds, not directly against samsara or cyclic existence. What the virtuous deeds itself do, it's kind of enriching your life in samsara. You are in a human realm. Even in the human realm, you have a good human kind of life, or some god realms. So in this very joyful life, last very long, kind of a human beings, not last long, but some gods are very eons, even said 84,000 eons, stayed those very pleasant world. So then it's a aspect of virtuous deeds with some practice. And wisdom aspect then lead one life, not only the virtuous realm, but liberation towards Buddhahood. Then some people say, I don't need the virtuous deeds, I need wisdom. Then this doesn't really, if you say, oh, you have a, in the past life, you already accumulate a lot of virtues. So in this life, you are mainly dedicated on wisdom. You may achieve it because wisdom achieved, then virtues also spontaneously kind of able to, if you say great emptiness or mahashunyata, or maybe we use these words, shunyata, also selflessness and the selflessness of a phenomenon. Both you can understand the both way, both then one can accumulate merit. This is some method is there. But generally it said it's important to accumulate both in this life. Virtuous deeds or these without wisdom is kind of a one only joyful life rebirths in samsara. But if you totally neglect the virtuous deeds, try to be achieve selflessness deeds, then possibly able to achieve arhat state. Or some state, it's difficult to say that is really lasting long achievement. But at least if you say the highest achievement, possible achievement is arhat. It's already, you are liberated by yourself, but you are not really creating the different realms of the world to kind of serving sentient beings to transform in that level. So it's important to practice both wisdom and the compassion. Later on, we are going to read some of these dedications. And if you do something good, then it's called dedication. If you generally not doing much, but not doing anything particular, but you have this wish to, which is the kind of all sentient beings free from suffering, then it's a kind of aspect of bodhicitta and the aspiration parts. You have this so-called, if you didn't do any particular thing, then it's aspiration. Aspiration, then you involve different actions, then it's a kind of, aspiration with the action. Then you can dedicate. You can say, oh, if I did aspiration prayer, also is something, I did something, you know, you are practicing. So that's why they usually put together, said, oh, dedication and aspiration. That is also from the beginning, Three Excellency also told us, said, in the beginning, we should generate bodhicitta, that is, wish all sentient beings free from suffering and to achieve liberation. And also, we want to serve them in our action or in now or future from relative or ultimate aim of ultimate. So, temporary or ultimate, we want to serve sentient beings, that kind of motivation. And then in the middle said, you have to know the doer and the object of doer and the action, subject, object and action. Actually, if you deeply analyze, then you realize the wisdom aspect of your understanding. One human being, without a wisdom aspect of understanding, then we think everything is solid. I'm doing this, and this is a good same thing to others. There are other sentient beings, me and others, and doing something for them. That kind of. So, but if you aware of the characters, who involve this action, what element really is real, then we can say self also, we are not, selflessness doesn't mean self doesn't exist, but exists, it's a dependent originated kind of existence. In the relative phenomenon, it's all cause and condition, compound things, no independent absolute existence. So it's the same from internally and the material, external material and internal kind of thoughts and the emotion is same. So then people have a very different, difficult to accept this situation that although appearance is there, but there is no essence of independent, solid and long-lasting existence. And then what is a kind of a paradox or the conflict, the appearance is real, solid, maybe some are not that solid, but we have accepted these phenomena have the essence of existence. So then, some are real and unreal cannot tell. So aspect of relative truth and absolute truth is like that. One can generally from our physical cognizant to detect or to aware of these things are there, including subject, object, and all the bounding actions. Then from detail aspect, if you sincerely to look at it, investigate, then you see all different connections. You don't see agent, independent agent, solidly, or self-existence is not there. So all elements, if you see they are connecting with the, what's it called, codependent originated themes, or dependent origination, or originated, interdependent, actually. Everything is interdependent. So you say, if you say relate, there is a thing, there is a phenomenon, it's interdependent phenomenon. Not a single one self-existence. There is no solid self-nature there. So this says, that is in Buddhist teachings always talking about this. If we say we, concept of I and mine, I with aggregates, compound elements, we are one or different. If we are one, we cannot differentiate, we cannot say we are two. We say me or I and my elements, you cannot say that. Because it's not two, right? Or you can say, oh, I'm elements, then elements not one, not the aggregates, it's not one. Or if you say one, then rest aggregates, you have to multiply I with a different, what's it called, the aggregates. So how you really they apply I and the different aggregates if you are one, with one or two or three or five, or how you say multiply I, or how do you say? If you say, so if you're the same, if it is I, so-called I, the concept and the elements are the same, then I cannot say I have owned this physical body. Even physical body have because it's, let's say, we are using our aggregates, or I have this, I own this body is incorrect way to say. If I and the aggregates are same, then when this physical body pass away or dead, then how can I say I will continue? So of course, physical elements also continues, but then we have to say I separate to many elements to continually exist. And so even though one kind of moment passed, future also not unrelated from this point of view, then you cannot say that my past and the future, my past life or future life, because it's not continuing in elements in compound way. Elements will compound with different elements. So you have to multiply your identity of I towards those elements, then it's uncountable. So with these, lot of these, if you say I and the elements are not different, not one, they are different, then also have many the paradox and this situation. So what the Buddha said is, we have to understand the two truths, relative truth and ultimate truth. With wisdom eyes, or with the cultivation, you would gradually understand there are a union of these two, to understand the true meaning of emptiness. So anyway, this is when we dedicate and thinking about virtuous deeds, and also think about the illusory understanding our relative world, because it's interdependent, rising just everything. So it doesn't deny or their existence. We are not putting down or kind of putting up their existence. It's just the fact where they are, which situation they are. It is, what they call, as we see things as it is. And so the seven branches of practice is the always in the beginning, mostly we do, or you can do it every morning, you offering the lamp or incense or water in your altar or anything, or you try before you receive teachings, or you can do kind of seven offerings, practice of seven branches offering. That reminds you oneself always before dedication, that is the end of third virtue, beginning bodhicitta. Second is the have some understanding about interdependency or shunyata. And then it's a dedication. But before dedication, in the beginning, sometimes we do offer seven branches, recite these stanzas, verses. Then it's the homage or bow, the prostration, that is to transform our arrogance. So before teaching or in the morning, you already have this self-important grasping, then try to kind of in front of Buddha's statue or image, you can do prostration, not only physical prostration, but in mind, one can tame one's mind and become humble, virtue, and friendly. And also this is one thing. And the second, the offering to accumulate merit with that offer or giving attitude is kind of it's a rich, a little bit adorned with love and openness in your mind. If one's too tight, too kind of self, then it's narrowing one's mind and behavior, that there is impact for future and the past like that. So then third, it doesn't mean you have to give something big, you know. You can put one flower in front of a Buddha, or then with a good motivation, it's already enough. But the purpose is not the quantity or the things, but it's this is not for others. You think I offer this, then I lost something, they gain something. But actually not the others, but for yourself. For it's behalf of your own condition, you offer something. And sincerely, you can offer something. Also, there's a giving kind of an aspect. And then it also the reflect of on the purification, confess of these. Everyone have a different thoughts, or we don't do much, or we did something wrong, or we said something wrong thing, or our thoughts is more important. If you can purify one's perception and also reflect on the past, what I did, and is really from love and wisdom, or ignorance and kind of hatred, other things, greed, the attachment. So we can say, correct ourselves. If we really done something harm, we say sorry and kind of pay something, respect towards people, and correct addressing or correcting ourselves. Then it's rejoice, accumulate. Same happiness feeling. And if you rejoice in practice rejoice, then the atmosphere of a group of people is much happier. if one did something good, others are not happy. One tried to kind of creating good fire, then someone to pour them those cold water on it. And one is kind of giving some flame, then others blow away. Like that, you're doing something, others are good, doing good. You always kind of giving some obscurations, then it's no good. If others are fetching water, you are accumulating the weeds, and others are cooking food, you can boil some tea, then everyone is happy and everyone have become more rich, enrich in each other and having happy life. So aspiration of rejoice, of course, it's very important. And then it's in order to continuously study and wish Buddha and the Buddha Dharma will continuously flourishing, and many enlightened people will remain on this world, relative world, to continue kind of spreading Dharma in transmission lineage and also realization aspect of transmission. And then the dedication in this last one. So if you said practicing like this, you will complete accumulation of both merit and wisdom and eliminate the two defilements. You will make this human life meaningful and attain unsurpassable enlightenment. So it said, practicing like this, we're going to complete accumulation of both aspect of compassion and wisdom. And that both can lead us to liberation and also performing the altruistic deeds continuously in the relative world. And the wisdom is aspect of absolute truth, actually. The merit is the being benefit to others in relative world. And it does make one's human life very meaningful. And even before reaching enlightenment, we're going to have a very meaningful life and afterlife. And then finally we're going to reach enlightenment. So it's important, as we said before, in this 23rd verses, among many, you watch your speech and alone watch your mind. These are really, really important. Some teacher in Tibet, in Kadamba, what's it called? I think Topoba. I don't remember. One teacher also said his practice is there's no time to disputation to others. I have no time glamorousy or frown. No time to be flattering, fickle in friendship. No time for attachment or aversion to others or other people. And no time to gossip or spreading rumors. No time to entertaining, do this and that, to making people fun of people or something, roaming around. But continuously to study Dharma. So that in relative world life, become meaningful. Ultimately, that achieve the great enlightenment. So I'm going to, you have maybe 1 minute, so I'm going to read you dedication. What is really dedication? There are many dedications, but I'm going to read one from Nongchimba. Said, may the teachings of the Buddha flourishing and the spread May all sentient beings find happiness and joy. May they practice Dharma day and night. And may our own and others' aim be spontaneously accomplished. And then another, this is the 13th, 14th centuries monastery, the Monchimba. And now, Archaya asked for Gosha. It's very early. I think quite early. Could be 1600, probably 700, I don't remember. But he said, through this merit of my generosity, may I attain Buddhahood so rarely found. And thereupon many, I liberate all beings from the unfoldable ocean of existence. And this is his small question. And then Jagger Sodron, one Tibetan master in 18th century from Andol in Tibet. He's through the blessing of infallible three jewels, my own parents be freed from suffering of samsara's lower realm and rebirth in Sukhavati, the pure land, where they may delight the protector Amitabha Buddha. Through the force of all virtuous deeds I have done throughout beginningless time until now, may all sentient beings, my kind parents, be liberated from the cycle of samsara. May my mother and father, who gave me life and physical form, and the teachers and the instructors who showed me the path to freedom, complete the two accumulations, purifying their twofold obscurations, that is analytical obscuration and emotional obscurations, that then finally achieve Buddhahood, purifying those twofold obscurations. And delight the omniscient king of Dharma. May the patrons who have placed their trust in me, as well as those beings who I have harmed, and those who I brought harm to me, complete the accumulations, purifying the obscurations, and swiftly attain enlightenment. May all sentient beings led by those whom I have abused, whose flesh and blood I have consumed, with the lives I have cut short and whose fur I dehide, hides I have worn, just as you wear you clothing these made animal products, swiftly tamed omniscient in resilient upon me. It's swiftly tamed omniscience in reliance upon me. This is Shakar's the dedication. And also different other dedication also here, but some are a little bit long. I think our time is now is the end. So I'm going to stop here. And this last word is that this conclusion is concluded. The Bodhisattva's garland of jewels, composed by the great Indian Pandita Dipankara Sri Jana Atisha, his name, usually we call it. So, our dedication, may the lives of glorious master be secure, and may all sentient beings enjoy happiness and peace. May we all accumulate merit and wisdom purifying all negative karma and swiftly reach enlightenment. And also, very happy you, few of you to continuously listen Dharma, and also 2-3 times I have to skip the schedule, original schedule. So due to traveling to LA, I'm very happy we had this time, shared this time practice together. So wish this practice become your own lifelong practice, and wish you all swiftly reach enlightenment. Thank you very much. And we're going to maybe take a break for 1 week, but we will see if next, after that, we're going to have some class in English. Thank you very much.